While you're standing, I'd like to read some scriptures, and you can sit down. Now, my grandson, great-grandson, informed me on the way home. Friday night, I preached too long. I appreciate the honesty of these kids. Our youngest son, we had three boys and three girls, but our youngest son, when he was a little guy, we'd have a visiting preacher. More than one time before the first service, on the way or somewhere, he'd say, "Dad, is he long-winded?" Now, what do you suppose he'd get for that? Well, I hope, like one fellow said, I hope I quit before all of you do. But I thank the Lord that we can spend time together in the house of God, around the Word of God, and I don't apologize for that. Not that it is wonderful to love the Lord.
Amen.
And to serve Him. And I have two scriptures I want to read this morning in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. You want to open your Bibles there, Acts chapter 13. And I'm going to read two verses. Kind of far apart here, but the thought is expressed in both of them. And then I want to talk to you this morning. And this was Paul was actually speaking in Antioch, and he was relating some of the history of God's dealing with the people of Israel. And I'd like to look at verse 22, chapter 13, and verse 22, then verse 36. He said, speaking how God had removed Saul from leadership and put David in there, it said, "And when he had removed him," speaking of Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king." whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And then you read verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. What I'd like to talk to you about this morning is living in the present will of God. Living in the present will of God. You may be seated. Now, it said of David here, God said, I have found a man after my own will. Somebody that will do the will of God. And David's testimony, as recorded in verse 26, said that for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. Now that's a pretty good thing. Nice to have on your tombstone, wasn't it? He served his own generation by the will of God. Well, I think this has something to say to all of us. If we're going to serve God, we better serve Him now. It's the only time we have. Serve Him in our generation. Sometimes we have a tendency, you know, kind of put it off, well, down the road somewhere, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the will of God. Or sometimes we talk about, well, how good this fellow was. He's been dead for centuries. And we talk about the prophets, and we talk about the apostles, and all these good people, and all the good things they did, and so on. That's wonderful, but that's not enough. God needs somebody to do His will in this generation. And right now. And I remember our good friend and brother Orion Beeson. He passed away a number of years ago. And my son-in-law, Jim Rome, and I stopped by to visit with him. And he was, well, in bed. Of course, he never recovers. But I can remember very well what Brother Beeson said. We had talked and prayed together. He kind of raised up on one elbow and said, you better give it all you've got while you're on stage, because you never know when your act is up. And that's the way life is. You know, we're here today and it's all over. Praise God. I had a good minister friend, and I remember the last fellowship meeting I attended in his church. He mentioned about what he wanted to do and what he wanted to see accomplished and so on. He was working in the sawmill. He come home for lunch, as he did every day, and went back to the work. And he hadn't left the house hardly 15 minutes until somebody come to his house and told his wife he died. He went back and got on the machine that he'd been operating and had a heart attack. What I'm saying this morning is, God has a will for your life and for all of us. And we need to know it and live it out now, day by day. We waste a lot of time and sometimes a lot of years in things that don't count very much. And I would like to be able to take what time and breath and strength I have left on this earth, and I would like to invest it in doing the will of God.
Amen.
You feel that way?
Amen.
If there's something inside of you that wants to please God, you better flow with that. You know what it said about the only man that I know of that ever translated like this fellow was, the man Enoch. He was the seventh down from Adam. But the Bible tells us he had this testimony before he was translated, that he pleased God.
Amen.
And God is not an old crank.
Amen.
I say God is not an old crank. You can serve God with joy.
Amen.
You can serve God with pleasure. And the will of God is sweet. Sometimes people think about, well, if I do what God wants me to do, it'd be like a yoke around my neck. Not so. The yoke of bondage will be broken, and the will of God is sweet.
Amen.
It's joy just to walk with Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that we can do God's will. God's not looking at the apostles nowadays. They've been here and they've done their thing. But we are the generation, and the only generation that you can serve is your generation.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And so I think sometimes we need to kind of wake up and realize why we're here and what we need to be about. And I feel like this is a challenge to my own life as well. And there's something about it to serve the Lord and to do His will in our present day and in our present generation. There are some things that I think is good for us. Paul expressed something that kind of fits into what he said. And he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Thank you, Jesus.
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And you know the only way that you can do the will of God today is by freeing yourself from your past.
Amen.
And giving yourself to the future. Now notice what he said. He said, "I don't feel like I've already attained." He wasn't on the throne. He hadn't sit down. He was still on the stretch. And I think we all need to be on the stretch. You know what I mean by that? Out there on the track, trying to go somewhere. He said, "Forgetting the things that are behind." Let me just tell you something. If you want something to be like a dead weight around your neck, keep looking at your past failures. You better come to the place in your walk with God that you can cut them loose, bury them, and forget them.
Amen.
If you don't do that, the devil will use them to condemn you, to keep you down and sap your victory.
Yes,
but
amen.
Thank God there's a place in Jesus Christ where you can cut off your past and be free to do the will of God.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't think there's any of us but what in some respect in our lives, there are just a lot of things that we wish we'd never done, and made decisions that we wish we had never made. But there's no way in this world you're going to turn around and work all that past out till it's all right. You have to forget. You have to bury it. And I'm glad God buries it. Praise the Lord. The Bible teaches us that when we come to God in repentance, and give our hearts to God and so on, He forgets our past. He buries our sin. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Amen.
Praise God. And when you're buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, it's like cutting off your old tracks and rising up to walk in newness of life.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That's one beautiful thing about what it means to come to God. Our first understanding of the will of God may be very small and very, not so great as we look at it. But I think the first approach to God, God's first will for you is to come to Him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come where? To repentance. That's your first step towards God. To ask God to forgive you. Ask God to have mercy on you. That's step number one. You take that step, and then you're ready for step number two. Praise God. Be buried with Jesus Christ in baptism. Like as Christ died and was buried, so buried with Him to rise and walk in newness of life. Then Peter said, He gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey. Now, that's ABC.
Amen.
Just that simple. But I want to tell you, that's the beginning of a new life in Jesus Christ. But beyond that, there comes these other areas of our life and our walk with God that needs to be filled with meaning and with purpose. And if any of you are hung up or stuck on the, in your walk with God because you can't forget what's behind, you better learn the lesson. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Don't forget that part of your faith. We didn't start out like somebody sang the song. I forgot exactly how it goes, but He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. He didn't going to take you so far to let you down. Praise God. I'm glad we can walk with Him. We can talk with Him. And I believe there are people on this globe today, 1987, that are walking with God and know the will of God and are fulfilling the will of God. There better be in our generation. And I want to tell you, I thank God for what He's done, and I thank God for what He's doing. This is a great day to live. You better believe it. This is a great day to live when God is pouring out His Spirit upon the earth as He is and visiting the world in the dimensions that He is. This is a great day to be alive in Jesus Christ. We've got good news to share with the people. Not only when you do the will of God and when you walk in the ways of God, you live with good meaning. And your life lives with purpose. And you know, if you don't have any purpose, you have no reason to get out of bed in the morning. And a lot of people have lost the joy of life and the joy of living because they have lost meaning and purpose. But I believe God gives us a reason to live.
Amen.
And a joy. It's a joy to live. Life don't become a drag. Did you ever meet anybody? You say, good morning. They say, oh, what's good about it? Kind of throws a cold chill down, you know. I'll tell you, it's just good to be alive. It's good to know God. It's good to be able to do the will of God. And I believe that we, just folks like you and me, we can do God's will here on earth. Some people think if you're going to do God's will, you're supposed to walk around in a holy trance of some kind. Well, I don't believe it. I believe that God gave us an example of that in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know that about 15 years out of the 30-some years that Jesus lived here on earth, He spent about 15 years of that in carpentry? You know what He was doing while He was there? He was fixing and building. You say, well, what did that have to do with His ministry? That was just as much a part of His being made flesh as other areas of life. He come into our stead and into our likeness. Even in the days of Jesus, the Romans and the Jews didn't like that hard labor. They left that for the slaves. But Jesus made work honorable by doing it. And I believe that God has got some people in shops and in offices and behind the plow and other places in life are just as much in the will of God as any preacher that ever stood in the pulpit. You hear what I said? Because people get so they want to just relate the will of God to certain holy services here and there or this particular work. But it's God's will that some of you ladies take biscuits for your husband and for your children and for your family. Where would we be without mothers?
Amen.
Praise God for good, godly mothers. Hallelujah. That have never preached a sermon or never turned the world upside down, but they have loved God and put something in the hearts of their children.
Amen.
And showed them the ways of truth and righteousness and holiness and godliness. And I say that's as much of the will of God as any other aspect of the will of God.
Amen.
So don't think that you've got to take a geographical trip somewhere so you can do the will of God. You can do it at home.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right where you are. Amen. With your family and wherever you are. That's God's will and God's way.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I just thank God. I know that I've heard so many people talk about the will of God, and they talk about it with a frown on their face. And they think, well, it's that something that's imposed upon us. Not so. Praise God. And it is written in the book of the Psalms, and it's prophetic concerning Jesus. He said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, and thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God."
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're living in quite an upside-down world. I saw a big billboard that had a great big lie on it. You know what it said? Reno is good for you. Now, that's a big one. And I say we're living in an upside-down world. I'll tell you what's good for you. God is good for you.
Amen.
Get the Holy Spirit into your life.
Yes.
Open your life to Jesus. Thank God and invite Him in. And I remember a lady that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our church in El Paso, Texas, where we pastored years ago. And this was on a Sunday night. She'd been a member of a nominal church, I guess, most all her life. But anyway, I went by, I think it was on Tuesday morning, I dropped by the house, and I said, "Well, how are you this morning, sister?" She said, "I have found what I have been searching for all my life." She said, "I am blessed." And I thought, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's great to find what your heart is searching for.
Yes.
And find it in Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You want to feel like life is worthwhile? You want to feel like God has a will for you? You're part of His plan? God has a design for your life? And you know what Paul said to the converts of Philippi? He was writing a word of encouragement to them. You remember Philippi is the place that Paul went when he saw a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." Well, he went over there, and what did he do? He got in jail. He got in trouble. But he got some converts. One of them was a jailer in his family. And you know, God works in wonderful ways. I don't think it's Paul Silas said, no, have we missed the will of God? I don't think that's what they were singing about, missing the will of God in the prison. I think they were singing because they felt like they had done the will of God.
Amen.
But he wrote back to these people, and in the first chapter, in verse 6, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it." Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident He who has begun a good work in you will finish it. He'll complete it. Praise the Lord. He has a will. He has a purpose. Let me tell you something else about fulfilling the will of God in your life. I don't know all about it. I'm just telling you what little I do know about it. But I can tell you this. It takes a conscious effort on your part to do the will of God. It's not something that's going to overtake you in your sleep. You hear what it said? It takes a conscious effort. You people that have children and have little ones growing up in your home, you know how you're going to save yourself and save your children? By constant, diligent efforts. It's not just going to take care of itself. You have got to be involved. You have got to consciously teach and instruct and pray and so on. And I think I know a little bit about this because we had six children, three boys and three girls. And I found out you can dedicate your children to the Lord, but you still have to keep your eyes open. Devil's not too good to walk right in your front door and try to mess up everything you've dedicated to God. So you have to have a little grit and grace and gumption and a lot of common sense. And all of this is part of just staying in harmony with the dedication that you've made. And so it is with our personal lives. He who has begun a good work in us, what will he do? He'll fulfill it. He'll perform. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that God hasn't given us the responsibility to try to go out there and straighten up the whole world. I read once where Stanley Jones said when he first began to preach, he went out and was trying to straighten up the whole world. And finally, he said God spoke to him and said, I haven't called you to be my attorney. I have called you to be my witness.
Thank you, Jesus.
You'll have to learn that as you go through life, you just do your witness. Be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do and leave the results to Him. I've gotten in my automobile and driven away from situations that tore my heart all up. Because they were like we were. And I couldn't change them. And even things that I could say couldn't change them. But at least I had on my record that I had done what I could do. And you know, when you've done what you can do, let the rest rest. Commit it. And I was speaking to a group of ministers and their wife down at the Tennessee Conference a few years ago. And I was talking about the principles of standards. And in that lesson on the principles of standards, I was just citing the fact that the Hebrew mothers laid the principles of truth and of God into the hearts of their children from the time they were wee. Matthew Henry's commentary said, a Hebrew mother nursed her child sometimes till they were 2 years old at least, sometimes a little older. But when they were weaned, they took them from the breast to the book. In other words, they begin to teach them, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And begin to lay spiritual principles. Now let me just say something here. The greatest subject a human mind can contemplate is the knowledge of God. And that was the first subject they introduced to the mind of a child. Now we come here and our children are put into a system where God cannot be mentioned. They can be brainwashed with humanism and Marxism and all kinds of other isms, but not God. I want to tell you, it's a dark day in that respect. You better believe what I'm telling you this morning. But if you're a Christian, And as a parent, you have a responsibility to lay the principles of truth and righteousness into the hearts and minds of your children in your home. And we were in a symposium back in St. Louis last year, and I was supposed to give a little bit after one of the papers that had been presented and so on. And at least they had been emphasizing how responsible the preacher is to keep the family straight and so on. But I said this, and I still believe this: God first put religion in the home before there was a church. Have you heard what I said?
Amen.
Before there was a church, God put it in the home. And that's the real basis. If it isn't in the home, what can a preacher do a few hours a week trying to preach a sermon to build a foundation in families if the structure isn't in the home?
That's
right, amen. And so it belongs in the home. That's where God put it. I'd like to just emphasize this morning, that you can be strong in the Lord and in your spirit and in your relationship to God if you've really been filled with His Holy Spirit and you absorb the Word of God into your heart and into your mind. It can make you strong to do the will of God. It will strengthen you to fulfill His divine purpose. And it's not something mystical. It's just sometimes good old hard work. But it's a joy, and it pays off. Great dividend. I mentioned the other night that after my folks had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and moved west into southern Idaho, took up a homestead out there, and lived 6 years before they ever met another Pentecost who knew anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. But did they have to backslide during that time? No, they did not. Thank God. They didn't have to have a preacher to hold their hand to keep them from jumping overboard. You know what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about getting something in your life personally that will stabilize you, that will strengthen you. The responsibility, the desire, the purpose of God, realizing God has a will for you, God has a plan for you, and God wants you to live daily in His divine purpose. And you can do that and hold down a normal job. You can do that and be a human being. What did Jesus pray? Thy kingdom come. What did He teach us to pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? In earth. Yes. In His heart, as it is in heaven. Yes. Praise the Lord. So we do His will. We walk in His way. And so it's important for us to put our very best in it. Paul admonishes us in Romans chapter 13. He said, and I won't read it all, but he said, It's high time, he says, to wake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. He was saying, wake up. Serve God with all your heart.
Amen.
Give God your best. Amen. Let the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. And as we realize that, in other words, put off your night clothes and put on your day clothes. It's time to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Don't walk around your house slippers all day. Wake up.
Amen.
Get going. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that's what He's talking about, us doing the will of God. And God knows our time is at hand. I remember something that impressed me very much years ago. You remember back during the Korean War at one time, at Christmas time, a plane load of soldiers had come back, and I think they came back here to the West Coast somewhere, and they were flying them east to their home for Christmas. And they got up over the mountains of the Idaho and Wyoming border, and a great snowstorm came up, and that plane went down up on the hills of the lake or the mountains back of Logan, Utah. And the storm was so great that they had to search for several days to find this big plane. Finally, they spotted the wheel sticking up out of the drift, the snow drift. There was a picture in our paper, and I'll never forget it. Those who had come to investigate this wreck, it showed one of the men reaching down by a body of a soldier. And there, laying on top of the snow, was a little New Testament. And it was open, and as the man picked it up, the verse said, "My time has not yet come. Your time is always ahead." You know when Jesus said that? That's the words of Jesus. And they didn't crucify him until it was time. But he said, "Your time is always ahead." And that's the way life is with all of us. When are we going to give ourselves to fulfill God's purpose? Now. If we don't do it now, I believe God's calling us in this day. Praise the Lord. So God's calling all of us in this day to be strong. To be strong in our walk with God, strong in truth and righteousness and holiness and godliness. And he's calling us in to a vital walk in relationship with him. And somebody put it this way, and I think there's a lot of truth in it. If you really want to enjoy serving the Lord, serve him hard. If you want to live miserable, serve him easy. I'm glad that you can give yourself to God, and his will is sweet to fulfill. His purpose is good. There'll be no cross purposes within your life. And I think in this day in which all of us are involved, it seems like there are so many voices clamoring for our attention, and so many things. Kind of like gathering momentum as we go, it seems like we can, in a world like this, give ourselves to God. Somebody asked me a number of years ago, this is part of the director of Home Mission, did a lot of traveling. Somebody said, "Well, now, do you think if the Apostle Paul was here that he would write in Jesus?" I think if he was here, he would not get in an ox cart. He'd start to man the bare shoes somewhere else. You go to Palestine, you see how far apart some of those towns are, where the Bible says they were here and they were there. And they all walked in those days. Walked. Alright, it was like Jesus and his family going from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. A good hike, I do that. He didn't do it in a day, several days, about 8 miles or so. And they walked along those dusty roads. What I'm trying to say is, you don't have to go out and isolate yourself somewhere from human beings and from the world and from life to do the will of God. You can serve God in our generation. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
A couple of other things I want to mention in closing this morning, and that is, if you'll fill your heart and fill your mind with God's Word, listen to the things that are right, the principles that are right, it will give you a sense of values. And that sense of values will help you to live for the things that count. How many people in this world have had everything that their mind could want for, or their eyes could see, that live in a bubble that bursts like caves in on them? How many famous people come out saturated with drugs, saturated with alcohol, and all this, and they call this life? No, it's not life. It leaves them poor, and robbed, and stripped. But thank God, there are some things that count for time and for eternity.
Yeah.
And we can choose those better parts and the sense of values that help us to do the right thing. I don't know. Maybe it's because we've been around a while. There are a lot of things I can't listen to. A lot of things I don't want to be part of. You know why? Because it just does something to what I know as the Word of God.
Amen.
And it will help you to discern way things in different light than many other people do. The importance of our decision, I think how important it is for us to make a decision to put in your will on God's side in the decision. I watched this happen in the church where I pastored a number of years ago. And I remember one young lady who was a real fine girl, a good mother and father. And I loved her countenance, I loved her testimony, and so on. But something happened to the young lady. And I saw a change on her countenance, and then I saw a change in her attendance at church, and I saw something happen. Now, I didn't know exactly what happened, but I found out. She got in the wrong car with the wrong crowd going to the wrong place. One time. And that changed the course of her life. You say decisions are important? Yes, they are very important. Let me tell you one I experienced. You see, I was between 18 and 19 when I got saved. I'd just come in from Nevada, been cowboying in Nevada. And I was raised on a horse and stuff. So on. Well, when I come to this little storefront mission and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was only about one or two other young fellows in the church. One of them was my wife's boyfriend. And he was such a nice guy. And here I had come off the range, and I wasn't refined, didn't have the good clothes he had and all this. So he and I didn't fit very well. But anyway, I got it. That's the end of the story there. But this is what I want to say. After God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I had a deep love to do the will of God, to pray and to walk with God, I was walking down the street one night going to the old mission. And I met a carload of my old buddies. And they stopped, pulled over, and said, "Hey, come and go with us. We're going down to Kimberly to go to the show." I said, "No, I'm going to church." Oh, you're only young once. You know. Come, we're going to have a good time." I said, "No." As they pulled around the corner, now this is back in Model T days, one old boy stuck his head out the side curtain and said, "Goodbye, old Sunday school boy." You know, that kind of burnt me up a little bit, I'll admit. But I've looked back on that. If I'd have got in that car that night with that crowd, I probably wouldn't be standing here preaching to you. How important are your decisions?
Amen.
They can affect you for life.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. The guy that hollered goodbye, old Sunday school boy, the last time I saw him, he was a soft alcoholic, and he died. So what I'm saying, it's important to do the will of God. And I believe there are people today who are living in the present world.
Yes.
And you can be one of them. It's not a change of geographical location. It's just a matter of arming yourself with the things of the truth. If not, that you have to reach way out here, or way up over there, or way up there somewhere. It's a matter of admitting yourself to God. And if you have problems in your life that you can't handle, let me tell you what to do with it. Turn over to Jesus. Fully commit to Him. Things you cannot change, you must commit. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring you.
Amen.
I don't know all of you, I don't know your needs this morning, but I just feel this kind of a burden in my heart. If there are mothers and fathers here, or young people here, you haven't really known the will of God being fulfilled in your life, I'd like to tell you, you don't have to wander any longer. You can come to the Lord. I mentioned the other night, I just talked to a young couple before coming down here from Czechoslovakia. And they understood so little about what it means to trust Jesus, or or to turn to the Lord or give their heart to God. But they're reaching out for Him. I believe God's going to help. Maybe this is a day, I don't know. But I'd like to tell you, you don't have to guess. You don't have to be afraid. For 18 months, they wanted to talk to somebody that they didn't know who to trust. Well, if God is dealing with you, have a desire in your heart. One thing I'd like to tell you, you can trust this book.
Amen.
And you can trust the leadership of this church to tell you the truth and guide you into the ways of truth and righteousness, that you will be what God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together.
Jesus,
oh Lord, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving this morning to you. Go beyond our human efforts, and by thy great Spirit will you minister to every heart and every need. Thank you today that we can do the will of God. Let thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, bless every man, woman, every boy and girl here today. Lord, may their hearts reach out to me. Reach out to do the will of God.
I just like to say one more thing. I wonder if there's something that there's something that's happening.